We thank God for another good morning that God has given us to sit at his feet, to listen to his word. And indeed, he is faithful, he is gracious, he helps us, and he continues to be our shield and portion. We are still in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and we have been trying to look at all these blessings that are in Christ. And one of the key things that we have seen is that God desires that we may grow to the knowledge of his will. That means we grow in epignosis. Epignosis is that spiritual knowledge of God, of all things ethical and things divine, the complete and accurate knowledge of God. And we can grow in that in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And when we do that, we are able to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then when you grow in the knowledge of God, in the epignosis of God, then you are strengthened with all might. That is the dunamis. So power is linked to knowledge. So power is linked to revelation. So the dunamis comes from the linkage to the knowledge of God. What you know about God is what you have power from God or power of God to do. And then beyond that, we are supposed to give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So the Father is the one that allows us, that qualifies us, that makes us worthy. And remember, we are begotten of the Father by the Spirit and also by the Word, because God is Spirit, you know. God is Spirit, and his children, they that worship him, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, because we are children of the Father, how does the Father begets us? By the Spirit which regenerates us and gives us new birth, and also by the Word of God that begets us. We are purified, we are begotten of the imperishable seed. The imperishable seed is the Word of God. So those are the two aspects that make us qualified. And when we are partakers, we become inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, that means that we are children of the light. We are made lights. Remember, God is the Father of all lights. He is the Father that dwells in unapproachable light, in whom no eye can see and live. So there is something about the Father. And really, when we speak about the Father, we does not mean that there is a father, there is a mother, but the word Father is Abba, and Abba means source. That means the origin of all things is the Father, or rather is God, the one who dwells in unapproachable light. But then comes in the Son. The Son is the Word. Now, the Son is not, does not mean that he is a child, but it means that he is the one that came from the Father. And the Son is God. The Son is the visible creation, part of God that we can see. That means that if we are to see God, we will only see him in Jesus. And this is what we are going to see today in the aspects when we look at the image of God. Now, just before we get to that, verse 13 tells us that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us or conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So there is a translation, or rather there is a conversion, and this conversion happens in the way that we are changed, we are turned, we are moved from one place to another. So there is a conveyance that God does to bring us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, one of the things that the foundation of our relationship with God is actually the love of God. When you understand that everything that God has done is because of his love for us, God demonstrated his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, he sent his Son to die for us. That's why the Bible says, in whom, in Christ, We have redemption. What is redemption? We've said redemption is the paying back, is the purchase, is a legal term where we are, a contract is being settled, a transaction is being made for our sins. And how is this transaction made? It is made by the precious blood of Jesus. Remember, people, whenever there was a fine, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We are justified freely through the grace that is in Jesus. So there was a demand in the spirit that man, because man sinned, man must die. Then God became a man, came as a man, humbled himself to be a man, took on the form of a servant, died on the cross, paid the full penalty for sin. That is redemption. That is why Christ is our kinsman redeemer. He pays the penalty that is needed, you know, the price that is needed to pay us back, to redeem us back. And then we become his possession. Everything that we have that we had lost is taken back to him, and he sets us free. So in Christ we have redemption, and this is what we were able to look at yesterday, redemption through his blood. So it is the blood of Jesus that redeems us, and the various things that we are redeemed from. We are redeemed from our old way of life and from the traditions passed down from our fathers. We are redeemed from the curse of the law, and that the blessing of Abraham may come to us. We are redeemed from sin and death. That thing is paid, and we are given eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. We are also redeemed from, you know, perishable things, from the elements of this world. There are things of this world that will seek to hold us captive, but we are also redeemed. So redemption is a very important aspect of the Christian faith. And when we understand redemption, we know that we cannot earn it. It is not anything that we could earn. There is no one that has the capacity to pay for the price of redemption. Only the finished works of Jesus on the cross guarantee our forgiveness. We have an eternal redemption, Hebrews 9:12. There is a redemption that has been paid for in the heavens, in the time that is in eternity, in the place where there is no tomorrow, there is no yesterday, there is no before. In that timeless dimension, that is where Jesus took his blood and paid that price. So when we understand, when we rest on that love, and that God did it for his own pleasure, it gives him great pleasure that he had sons. And that's why he said, we are seeing that it is in the kingdom of his son, of his love. So we are entering into a love kingdom, a kingdom of love. And this is where Christ is. Now, verse 15 tells us, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. And here we are speaking about Christ. Christ, remember, it's Christ. Christ is the image of the invisible God, or Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things, for by Christ all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Let me just read verse 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, the things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, when we're speaking of Jesus Christ, we are speaking that he is the image of the invisible God. Now, it does not say he is an image, or he is like the image. You know, when you think of likeness, it's like a replica. But Jesus is not like the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. That tells you that the God that we cannot see, the invisible God, the God who dwells in an approachable light, whose no eyes can see, decided to make himself visible, and he is visible in the Son, in Christ. So the Word that became flesh became the visible aspect of God that we call the Son, Jesus Christ, that we call the Son, that we can be able to see him. So the invisible God made himself visible when his Word became flesh. And remember, he was with the Father in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that means the Word became flesh. The Word, God, who was the Word, came and took on a body. That's why the Bible says, this is a body prepared for me. Sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body prepared for me. That means he took on humanity. He took on flesh that we might be able to see him. Now, when he says he is the image, as I said before, he does not mean he is like the image. Remember man, when God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness, and let them have dominion, he did not say that man is the image per se of God, but man is made in the image. That means it is a replica. And that is why you think about when Jesus, when he was questioned about paying taxes, he asked, in whose image is the inscription? That means that that image is a representation of Caesar. And he was told that the image is Caesar's. Then he says, give to unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God. Now, man is made in the image of God. That means that we are a replica, in that God has made us in a form that is similar to his form. That means if it is in terms of his shape, we are made in the shape of God. Likeness is in the attributes, the character, the things, the nature that makes us like him. But you see, the difference between man made in the image and Jesus being the image is that Jesus is Christ is actually the image. That means he is God, the visible God. That means he is. And that word image there is icon. That means it is an exact representation. Let us look at now. God was pleased that all the fullness should dwell in him, in Christ. And that is, you have read in Colossians 1, verse 19. Then, I want you to also, maybe before I finish that line, it says the firstborn over all creation. Now, this does not mean that Jesus Christ was born. When it says firstborn, it means the one who has the authority. Remember, in the olden times, the Bible will say that you will understand that firstborn, the firstborn son, is the one that will get a double portion, the one who has the inheritance. So the firstborn means, the word there is prototokos. It has two components. Not only does it mean the firstborn, the one having the authority over all creation, it also means that the one who is the firstborn from the dead. Remember, Jesus is the church of the firstborn. That means when he arose from the dead, he became a new form that is made in for man, that men that are regenerated in the image and likeness of God. That means that when Christ was regenerated, or rather when he came up from the grave, he became the firstborn from the dead, and he enabled men to also receive the same life that God has given, the same life of God was allowed and it was made possible for man. And that is why God said he has brought many sons after the image of his sons, brought many sons into glory, and he has made them after the captain of their salvation. That means they are made in the image. We are conformed in the image of the Son. That means we that are born again are made into the image of the Christ, into the image of the Son. But now, when Jesus was on the earth, the Bible tells us it pleased God that all, it pleased the Father that in Christ all the fullness should dwell. That is Colossians 1:19. Now, if you look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, for in him, in Christ, remember these are in Christ realities, or in him, for in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10 says, and you are complete in him who is the head of principality and power. So, when we say that Jesus Christ is the image of God, he is actually God in bodily form. That means that for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Remember, who is the Godhead? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. The Godhead was pleased to dwell in Christ. And the Bible in Colossians 2 verse 9 tells us, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, let us look at also another scripture that also tells us the same thing, and that is Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1. When you go to Hebrews chapter 1, you will see where God speaks. Verse 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So God made the worlds. God created everything through the visible Jesus Christ, that the Godhead, the part of the Godhead that is in bodily form. And that is why he says that he made the worlds. And verse 3, which is our key verse, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That means he is the exact image of his person. That means it is him himself, the exact express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, becoming so much better than the angels and having obtained a more excellent name than they are. Another aspect that you can look at is John chapter 14, from verse 6, when Philip says, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And Jesus asks him, Philip, after all this time that you have been with me, don't you know that he that has seen me has seen the Father? That I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. That means that anyone that wants to see God must see Jesus Christ. If you see Jesus Christ, you have seen God. Why? Because he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That means that Jesus Christ is fully God, the fullness of the Godhead. God was pleased that all the fullness to dwell in him, the fullness of the Godhead to dwell in him. And that is why he is made firstborn. All things were created by him. All things were created for him and by him and for him. He upholds all things by the power of his word. He is before all things, such that in him all he might have the preeminence. Now, this is the understanding that we must have, that the word becoming flesh and making his dwelling among us is just God who existed as the Word before all things, taking on humanity such that we can see him, such that he can unite all things. Remember, at the end of the day, God's purpose, he wants to unite heaven and earth. Heaven and earth are to be united, the physical and the invisible, the terrestrial and the celestial. You know, that which can be seen and that which cannot be seen are supposed to be united, and they are united together in Christ, because Christ is the one that holds it all together. That is why when he is the firstborn over all creation, that means he is the one that has the authority over the created realm, both things invisible and things visible, whether they be thrones or powers or principalities or dominions. That is why he is the head of principalities and powers. He is the one that has the preeminence. When we understand that God wanted, you know, the Bible says the reason why he came is he wanted to reveal the manifold wisdom of God to principalities and powers. There is always, there are more and more dimensions of God that we are even yet to discover, yet to see. And that is why the 24 elders, when they lift up their eyes to see the throne, they cast down, they bow down, they fall to their knees, they bow down, they cast down their crowns. And all they can say is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." That word holy there that they use is kadosh, meaning that word, that one that is highly set apart from all. That is how our God is. He's set apart from all. And now Jesus is not just an image or a replica. He is the image. And he is the one that we can see as God. He is God. That's why he is. The Bible, when you see Philippians chapter 2, it says that even though he was equal with God, he did not consider it robbery, but he humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. He was found in appearance as a man, and he laid down his life for us. And therefore, God exalted him and gave him the highest throne, far above all thrones, all powers, all dominions, that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth must bow. And don't put yourself far away from it. That is why we are included in Christ. When we believe in Christ, we are included in Christ. And we are given the same image. That is why the Bible tells us that as beholding in a mirror, as we behold, we are being transformed into the very same image. That means we are also, each and every day, as we behold the glory of God with unveiled faces, when our faces are unveiled, we are transformed into that very same image of God. That is when now we become truly the image and likeness of God. Anyone that does not believe this, anyone that does not see it, cannot be truly made in the image. In fact, you will lack the revelation to know that you are made in the image and likeness of the Son, because the Son is the express image of God, and God wants us to be exactly like him. But how do we become exactly like him? When we behold his glory, when we are continually transformed to be more and more like him, with an ever-increasing glory, from one level of glory to another. So each and every day, as we behold, as we reflect him, as we grow into him in understanding, in knowledge, the more and more we become like God. The more and more we become like Christ, and more we become like God. And remember, now that's why we say that our lives are now hidden in Christ, and Christ is in God. That is out of the love of God. That is out of the pleasure of God. And that is why when we follow the same attitude of Christ, of humility, then we understand that it was just the blessing of God to bring us into this communion, into this fellowship, into this koinonia, that God wanted that union, that man to be partakers of the divine nature.
man to be partakers of the image of God, man to be partakers of the glory of God. And that is why when you think about that, all that it must draw your heart to is to worship and reverence. To know that it was by the precious blood of Jesus that this was paid. And by it, we can be partakers of the divine nature of God. God wants us. God's desire, God's greatest desire is that the manifestation of the sons of God. That's why the Bible says creation has been groaning in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. That manifestation is men who are made in the image and likeness of God, but also those that now have moved away from that replica to now being conformed to the exact image of his son from one level of glory to another. This is what God desires. This is the ultimate plan of God, that we become more and more in the image of his son, who is the exact image of God. I'll stop here and I pray that God will give us more insight into this. You're welcome, my brother.
Thank you, Dr. Martin. Great word there. All I can say is that we continue seeking for the grace of God to help us live like Christ does, because clearly we're created in his image and in his likeness. There should not be any reason as to why we should live any different. And by confessing him as our Lord and Savior, it is also, the commitment that we emulate everything that Christ stands for. And that, we hope that, as I said, we just pray and continue asking for grace.
Amen.
To do that and to...
Amen.
I will start.
Amen. Let's thank God. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have made us in your image, in your likeness. Not of our own ability, not of our own power or capacity, not of our own righteousness. But it is you that has imparted in us the nature. It is you that has imparted in us the likeness. It is you that is making us more and more like you. And I thank you for the revelation that we are sons of God, to whom that are begotten of the word of God. The word, to whom the word came, that we became sons. And that, Lord, you want us to live as expressions of you on the earth. You in bodily form, in us, fulfilling the kingdom of God, building the kingdom on the earth, growing, bringing men to make them all see the mystery of the fellowship of the mystery, that indeed you have brought us into communion with you, that you and the Father, the Christ, and the Spirit will come and make their home in us. I thank you that you make your home in us. I pray that, Lord, give us insight, give us revelation, give us that assurance that by your Spirit we are sealed. We are sealed until the day of redemption, until the final day. By your Spirit, we have the confidence to walk in truth, to walk in light, to speak with authority, to act as you will do, because you have brought us into your counsel. We honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. Thank you that, Lord, by this we can walk in victory, divine victory, to the praise and honor of your holy name. We thank you that indeed you are a blessing to us and our families. We cancel sickness, we cancel lack, we cancel delays, we cancel any spirit of death, any spirit of poverty. We bind it in the name of Jesus. Thank you that doors are open, windows are open, that indeed favor is our name, favor is our portion. In all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed.